2 years after adopting a program of safer supply in a bid to stem the overdose crisis, BC's Auditor General has raised some red flags about the program. Auditor General Michael Pickup has reported issues around transparency, access, and concerns about the diversion of safer supply drugs into the illicit market. I'm Dave Breckenridge, and this is 10-3. Vancouver Sun columnist Vaughn Palmer joins me to break down some of the issues the AG found, what recommendations he made, and how BC's politicians are responding. Don't forget you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music. I'd love it if you could leave us a rating, a review, and tell your friends about the show. So Vaughn, recently BC's Auditor General looked into the province's harm reduction initiatives, specifically safe supply. And before we get into some of the details of the report, I wanted to touch briefly on safe supply in general in BC. How long has BC been offering safe supply, and what was the motivation behind instituting this program in British Columbia?
Well, yeah, the Auditor General looked at the first 2 years of the program, so it's coming up on second anniversary, and timely report because the program is very controversial at the moment. The concept was clear. You're getting horrific levels of deaths from overdose, from dangerous drugs and a tainted drug supply. So what if we started providing a safer drug supply to people, substitutes, make it available on a prescription basis to the needy, and we should be able to have some impact on the death rate. So the Auditor General looked at this, and he tried very, very hard, Dave, to say, here's how you can improve the system, here's where you need to work on it. But really, it's not a vindication by any means of the program to date. And he found some significant lapses in information and a significant fall down on the part of the government in persuading the public that this is the way to go. So it's not in any sense a strong supportive report, other than him saying, if you want to make this work, you're going to have to do a heck of a lot better going forward.
Yeah. And did this bear out some of the concerns that people raised perhaps at the time before BC brought it in? What were people saying were potential pitfalls of this program, and how has that been borne out here?
You know, that's an interesting question because it's right there in the Auditor General's report. He says, you know, it's true that British Columbia is breaking ground here and going first, but a lot of the concerns were identified at the outset, including the problem of communication, including the problem of data collection in order to vindicate what you're doing. And he says you didn't do that, right? So he doesn't let them off the hook on that issue of, well, this is an experiment. He says, yes, it is an experiment, but you knew going in what you should be doing, and you've not been doing it, not been making it available around the province, not putting the resources there, not communicating. And one big one that I think will be of interest to Alberta is we've had this argument back and forth between the provincial, the two provinces, over the question of diversion. So one of the risks of distributing these safer supply drugs to users is that the users may turn around and resell them, or put them into the illicit market, or use the money to buy stronger drugs. And we've had an argument back and forth. You've had the allegation that BC's supply is being diverted. And the BC government's line was, there's no widespread evidence. There's a very damning portion in the Auditor General's report that says, there's a very good reason why there's no widespread evidence of diversion. The BC government isn't collecting the evidence.
Yeah, I mean,
not collecting the evidence, you're not going to have the evidence.
Because this all kind of came to a head recently with a bust by BC RCMP that indicated that there was a an amount of drugs in that bus that came from the BC Safe Supply program. Is it just a data collection issue, or what did the AG say about the diversion issue by and large?
The Auditor General, you know, the good thing about being an Auditor General is you got terrific access, right? That those of us in the journalism business can only dream of what an Auditor General can do. So the Auditor General goes out and talks to the front end, to the delivery side. And he says, look, he says, my staff talked to healthcare providers and people on the delivery end of this. And they said the government isn't doing nearly enough to determine whether or not there's diversion. And the Auditor General discovered that the government had promised back in 2022 that they were going to put up one of these dashboards that would keep track of all the data that's out there. Oh, there's a dashboard already, all right, but it's only available to insiders. It's not there for the public to have a look and see how it's going. And there is no evidence being gathered on the question of diversion. You mentioned the RCMP. So we've had two RCMP reports recently, Prince George and Campbell River, and they both said the same thing. We are finding that safer supply is being diverted, channeled into the hands of organized crime, and it's creating a trade in safer supply drugs. RCMP said that in both places, and they said they're confident that this is happening. They haven't given us all the details, Dave, but I think what they've been doing is they've been catching them in the act. You know, there's surveillance. They see this stuff distributed, and then they see it illicit. Very dramatic political fallout to those RCMP reports. So what happens is the Solicitor General, Mike Farmer for BC, says there's no widespread evidence this is happening. Then the RCMP put out a statement, office of the RCMP, the division headquarters. No substantial diversion. Reporters who'd been going around to RCMP detachments, asking the question, have you been finding this happen? Suddenly get the doors slammed in their face. You go to the RCMP detachment and they say, talk to division headquarters. We're not talking about this anymore. So they tried to shut this down. But, you know, as I said, then the Auditor General's report comes out and says, well, the government doesn't know if there's diversion or not because they're not collecting the evidence. They haven't asked for it, right? It's one of the frustrating things about covering an experiment like this. So we've got decriminalization, safer supply, safe injection sites, all happening at the same time, is the sense you get, this stuff is run by ideologues. They believe this is the way to go. They know, we all know, the old system didn't work very well. The war on drugs didn't work very well. And they think this is the way to go. And at times, it's almost like they don't want to know how it's working. They don't want to know about the downsides because they're damn sure this is the way to go. And even though the evidence is there's big problems with decriminalization, just ask the folks in Oregon. Big problems with safer supply, just ask the RCMP in those detachments where they're allowed to talk about it. And safe injection sites, well, you know that one. You do not want to be in the neighborhood of one of those, right? The government has a shortage of them here in BC because every time you talk about locating one, there's a backlash in the community because people don't want to live in the same neighborhood as a safe injection site.
Yeah. One of the issues you mentioned before is one around information. And you said there was a dashboard that was up and running, but wasn't being updated. You know, how, when it came to the Auditor General, how did the government fare on the issue of transparency?
Oh, seriously faulted. The dashboard is a very good example. The Auditor General blew the whistle on this. So his report says that right from the beginning, they promised that there would be a dashboard with the data there so that people could see how the experiment is working. That's how you're going to be able to show that it's working, right? What the Auditor General found was that that dashboard, it existed all right. They closed it off. Insiders could find out what was going on and access the data, But no member of the public or the news media could log on and see what the data was showing. Oh, if you ask, they might tell you the numbers. And of course, the other thing is there was some kinds of data that they weren't keeping. And one of those was something that about diversion. Now, in the news business here, different reporters have been reporting since last year that there was diversion. They've witnessed it. They've gone to the areas where it's happening and said it's happening. And we got these denials. Oh, that's just, you know the old line, eh? That's just anecdotal, right? That's not data. Well, in the absence of data, which the government is not keeping and not asking for, you're going to have to rely on anecdotes. And the occasional RCMP detachment that is authorized to tell you what's actually going on in their community.
We'll be right back. On the flip side, looking at BC's harm reductions as a whole, I get the sense that the Auditor General also pointed out, while there are problems with how the BC is operating some of these programs like Safe Supply, there's also an issue of people being able to access them. What did the Auditor General have to say about access either to harm reduction, to Safe Supply prescriptions? Is once you get outside of the Lower Mainland, did we start to see problems arise?
Huge problems. The delivery systems just aren't there in place in a lot of communities in British Columbia. And, you know, one of the drivers of this crisis in overdose is people who've been injured on the job or who have chronic pain or who are accessing these drugs as well. So it matters. Problem spread around British Columbia, it matters if there's access, and there isn't access. The resources aren't there. The government hasn't funded them to the extent it needs to do. And as I said, it is difficult to get communities to cooperate in the location of a safe injection site and so forth because of the street crime problem outside and the drug trafficking that goes on outside. Same problem with decriminalization, right? I mean, you know, I think we all get the concept of what's being tried here, but you're also seeing something that's being put in place that the NIMBY factor on this one is massive because the reports we've had here and elsewhere are that it may be a grand experiment on paper, but man, you do not want to be living in the neighborhood with these consequences. And that undermines public support. And then you get a report saying, well, the government isn't, you know, managing it well. They're not getting the data they need to know if it's working. And you see what's happened. I mean, when we started here, everybody was pointing to Oregon, you know, Portland. And they just bailed on it down there, right? And they bailed on decriminalization down there because they realized that they had authorized it in the state of Oregon with an initiative. They have initiative legislation. The initiative was going to be repealed this fall, and the state Senate and state Congress, House of Representatives, both went, we don't want to deal with this in the fall. We don't want this tainting or skewing the results in our fall election. So they repealed it, both houses. They've just walked away from it. And nobody is looking at the Oregon model anymore for doing this. You still hear people talk about Portugal. One of the people running the program speak to the legislature committee here a few years ago that recommended decriminalization. But, you know, one of the things that jumped out of that is they don't have Portugal at that time. The problem wasn't fentanyl, it was heroin. And now that you're seeing the fentanyl catastrophe descend on the United States, you know, I don't know what works. But the argument that, well, the old thing didn't work, so let's try the new thing. Okay. But you got to be able to demonstrate that the new thing is working. And there's growing evidence that there are major problems with it. And moreover, some of the politicians that are defending it are in denial. They're not facing the gaps in what they themselves are doing.
And speaking of the politicians here, obviously, you know, you touched on the Solicitor General and the concerns around diversion, but what has the government said about the report as a whole or about their ability to manage the harm reduction file period? What has been their response to this report?
Well, the good question. So the first line of defense was, we've accepted all the recommendations. Okay. You know, one of the things the Auditor General said was you should have done this from the outset, but okay. They said we've accepted the recommendations, so they're going to start like keeping the data they should have been keeping from the beginning, and they're going to start trying to provide the services around the province. Okay. And the other thing they said was, well, he didn't tell us to stop and reverse direction. He just told us we need to do more, so we're going to do more. Well, you know, our government here got elected in 2017. One of the first things they did was they announced a new Ministry of Mental Health and Addictions to tackle this problem. We're going to have a standalone ministry, and it's going to lead the way. Some people said, well, all the programs you're dealing with are either justice or health, so you've got another, you're going to get siloing and buck passing among ministries. But anyway, that's the route we went. Well, you know, after all this effort, our death figures here in British Columbia are still appalling. I mean, they've leveled off slightly in the most recent report, but last year was the worst year ever. So again, other jurisdictions, I mean, the one thing everybody agreed going in on this is everyone will be in Canada anyway, be looking at British Columbia. Is it working? Are they getting anywhere? You know, are they making progress on it? I think at this point, you're going to have trouble persuading another jurisdiction that the way we're going in BC is the way to go. I don't think anybody questions the good intentions here. And we're a rich province, so the amount of money we're putting into it is enormous. But results? I don't know if anybody's going to say, well, British Columbians have solved this problem. It's still a work in progress, and the amount of progress is debatable.
Now, looking at the recommendations themselves, is it just a case of the Auditor General saying you need to do a better job of tracking this? Were there any recommendations about vacating particular programs? What do the AG have to say that the province needs to do better?
Pretty much everything. He's a constructive Auditor General. This isn't like, the Federal Auditor General's report on Arrive Canada, which was like a scorched earth report. It's not like that. It's, you know, I dug into this and, found that there's a lot of good intentions here and all that. But I still think when you consider how much we're already spending here in British Columbia and how little results we have to show for it, well, the pushback you're getting from the other side is, and I'll give you one example. To get safer supply here, you still need a prescription. The safer supply drugs are not just handed out. You have to have a prescription. And the government's view of that is they want a doctor. They want a medical professional pharmacist saying, yeah, you get these. And so the advocates, and there's a lot of advocates here, they say, well, what you should be doing is giving it out prescription free for now, because we've got to get on top of this thing. And there's an enormous number of drug users in BC, and they say 250,000 people. The supply is overwhelmingly tainted, and they say only a few thousand people have got the prescription access. So they're saying the problem isn't safer supply, and the problem isn't that you're going to hand it out. The problem is you're not giving it to enough people. And there was a call from the coroner for the province to start dispensing safer supply drugs without a prescription. Just basically, I guess, hand them out. The province said, we're not doing that. That's going too far, right? The government here has tried to put a lid on a few things, and it's running into a lot of criticism on that side, too. There's a huge problem with open With decriminalization, you got a huge problem with open drug use in municipalities, in streets, in parks, recreational spaces, not far from playgrounds and schools. And so the provincial government last year tried to get a lid on that too. They said, we're not giving up all of our public spaces, you know, to, we're not going to treat drug users like criminals, but we're also not going to give up all of our public spaces to drug use. So they brought in legislation to restrict drug use. This is not going to sound like onerous. Within 15 meters of public spaces like playgrounds and recreation sites and places where children go, right? 15 meters, you can't take a drug that close. And 6 meters of a bus stop, right? You'd think that doesn't sound too onerous. The courts threw it out. The court ruled, BC Supreme Court, Chief Justice ruled, the end of last year, that was too onerous a restriction on the rights of drug users to take drugs. Well, the judge didn't say pretty much any damn place they please, but that's the way I read the decision. The government's fighting that. They're trying to get that appealed and challenged. But that's another one of the things you're up against, you know, is it's even a government that's as activist as this one, and that is trying to put some limits on what you can do, hitting the big problem with the courts and the advocates.
Well, I know it's a very complicated issue, and the AG report is just one piece of it, but I appreciate you walking us through it, Vaughn. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, and that report is posted on the Auditor General of BC's website, you know, and you can go read it. It's a fairly good report, too, because it's written in, a lot of it's written in plain language, well summarized. He looked at three programs, so, you know, anybody in Alberta wants to go the way of BC, start by reading that report. It'll tell you what you're up against.
All right. Thanks again, Vaughn. Appreciate it.
Great to talk to you, Dave. Anytime.
10-3 is produced by Sean Knox. Theme music by Bryce Hall. Thanks to my guest, Vaughn Palmer. More from him at VancouverSun.com. I'm Dave Breckenridge. Thanks for listening.